And today, Jesus goes to a wedding. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. Our opening hymn, number 408, Come, Join in Cana's Feast. The last verse of that hymn is a Trinitarian verse. We'll stand at that time. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for inviting us to the feast today, the feast of Your Word, the feast of Your forgiveness, the feast of Christ's very body and blood in and under bread and wine. Heavenly Father, bless us that we would not take these feasts for granted, but that they would overflow into every aspect of our lives. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 408. Divine Service Setting 3, Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And You forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto You all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended You, and justly deserved Your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray You of Your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death,
of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of God.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Epiphany is from Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. The epistle is from Romans, chapter 12. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel from St. John, the second chapter.
Glory
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 402. Please be seated.
On the sixth day, there was a wedding. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. At this wedding, there was joy. At this wedding, there was a celebration. At this wedding, there was even poetry. The very first words recorded by a human being in the Bible are lines of love for the husband to his bride. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Woman taken from the man is brought back to the man so that they can become one flesh again, being fruitful and multiplying, filling this earth and subduing it together. But this wedding, as great and celebration worthy as it was, is only a picture of the greater wedding that day. On the sixth day, there was a wedding. God creating man from the dust of the earth and woman from man so that together they could be his bride, the church. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God's people are created in his image to be his bride, his perfect bride. United with God, creatures in fellowship with their Creator. The one flesh union of male and female flows from the greater union of God with his people, his church. Man's marriage to woman is a reflection of humanity's marriage to God, in the same way that humanity's perfection reflects God's holiness. And there was joy. But the joy did not last. The wine ran out. The man and the woman willfully broke their marriage with God. They succumbed to the devil's lies. Instead of being content as creatures in fellowship with their Creator, with God as the head, the man and the woman wanted to be like God. They wanted to be the head. But when they ate of that fruit, everything changed. Immediately, all joy ceased at that moment, replaced with guilt and shame. The wine ran out. And the first manifestation of their sin was the corruption of their union as male and female. The woman whom you gave to be with me, Adam says, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate. The woman he once received with joy is now a burden to be blamed. And God promises that marital strife will follow from their sin. He tells Eve, "Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." The breaking of the marriage between God and man therefore manifests itself most clearly in the corruption of the union of male and female. Now, male and female will not come together in love and honor, but in lust, inside and outside of marriage. Now, the one flesh union will be a recreational activity. What was once sacred will now be casual. And the command to be fruitful and multiply will be ignored or will take place outside of the bonds of marriage. Now, male and female will treat each other as objects for exploitation and abuse. Horrific deeds will be done to the innocent. We see it every day in the news. Now, the man will abandon his headship, and the woman will take it over in home, in society, and even in the church. Now, the marriage union will be entered into lightly, and that union will be broken just as lightly. Now, the fruit of that one flesh union, the children, will be left to deal with the consequences of the actions of adults, if they even survive to live outside the womb. There's no more joy, no more celebration, only sorrow. The cry of despair went up almost immediately, and it continues to ring out in every generation. When the wine ran out, the church cried to her God, "They have no wine." There is no joy. The core relationship of human existence, the relation between male and female, has been ruined. And in that ruin, we see most clearly that the relation between God and his people has been destroyed. They have no wine. But God doesn't seem to care. He says to his church, the people of God, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" You see, we have made our own bed, and now we must sleep in it. We must learn to live without joy, because our actions took all joy from this world. You know, there's no reason that God should care or should do anything about the situation we have put ourselves in. He did not break his marriage with us. We did. He did not break our marriages. We did. This is not his problem. But amazingly, miraculously, God does make it his problem. His love for his estranged bride does not cease, even though she has abandoned him in her sin and rebellion. His next words, even though they seem to be putting us off, are actually words of hope. "My hour has not yet come." You see, that's what he said to our first parents. His hour has not yet come, but in those words, "not yet," we have the promise that they will come. Have patience, for what he said to the serpent will one day come true. "I will put enmity between you," Satan, "and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." There is one coming who will crush the serpent, who will restore the marriage, but not yet. Patience is called for. Patience and a firm confidence in the promises of God. that what he has said, he will do. You can take it to the bank. And the church listens. The church responds to this promise in faith, saying to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And the servants, they're ready. They repeat and expand the promises of God as his Holy Spirit gives them utterance. And as she waits, throughout the entire Old Testament, the church, the estranged bride of Christ, is given rituals of cleansing and purification so that there can be some measure of interaction with her God, her estranged husband. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. But that's just water. There is no wine, no joy. Those waters standing in those huge stone water jars for the Jewish rites of cleansing cannot fully cleanse. They cannot start the party again. They cannot restore the marriage. You see, the only thing that can help is wine. Only wine can bring back joy. Only wine can start the celebration again. And the bridegroom comes to bring wine. The hour, long awaited, finally comes. The bridegroom doesn't stand aloof. He doesn't leave us to deal with our sins ourselves, but as so long promised ago, he comes to restore his bride to himself. He comes in the flesh, born of a virgin, born under the law, to fulfill the law. And he takes those stone water jars, those water jars of the law, those water jars of all the cleansing and purifications of the Old Testament, and he transforms them. He makes them into vessels for rich, abundant, joy-filled wine. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. The jars of the law are filled with God's wrath all the way to the brim. In full measure, the penalty of the law, the entirety of God's wrath over your sin, your penalty and mine, is poured out upon the bridegroom as he hangs upon the tree. The waters of the law fall upon him, and he transforms them into wine. The wine of the gospel. The wine of joy. The wine which is his own blood. He gives as wine, his own blood, wine for the feast, wine that restores the marriage between God and his people, his beloved bride, the only wine that can restore the brokenness of male and female. And now, there is joy. The wine of gladness has been restored to the marriage feast. The bridegroom himself provided the wine that was needed. And now the marriage feast, so long delayed, so long interrupted, can begin again. The bridegroom sits at the head of the table and has fellowship with his bride, his church, you and me, together with all the saints. For together we are his bride. And the party begun at a wedding feast in Cana 2,000 years ago will last for eternity. God is restored to his people. He is once again their bridegroom, they the bride. The blood of the bridegroom is given out to all who feast. Along with his body, the bridegroom is, as the hymn said, both host and meal. The cleansing rites of the law, those six stone water jars, are replaced with a new cleansing, the cleansing of the gospel. Now water is the means by which the new wine, Christ's blood, makes you clean, pure, and holy, a spotless bride for a spotless bridegroom. You were stained, unholy, soiled by sin, no place at the feast. The wine had run out. But now, the bridegroom has come, and the wine flows freely, and you are cleansed, forgiven. Your seat is a seat of honor. Joy has been restored. And that joy that has its source here in the bridegroom, then goes out to heal the corruption caused by our sin, especially the corrupted relationship between male and female. Only the new wine, the forgiving blood of Jesus, can cleanse the woman who surrendered her honor, or the man who asked her to. Only the knowledge that God himself loves his people with an inexpressible love can bring healing to the victim of exploitation and abuse. Only the joy brought by Christ can bring harmony to a Christian marriage, with the husband as the providing head and the wife as the receiver, joyfully standing in the roles of Christ and his church. Only the forgiveness won by Christ, by his blood, that new wine coursing through our veins, can heal broken marriages and its consequences on children. Dear friends, this is the new wine our world needs. And Jesus commands that this wine be taken out into the world. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." The world tastes of this wine, and while some foolishly think it tastes like old bathwater, there are some who recognize it for what it truly is. Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. The good wine, the best wine, is that wine which Jesus gives. The good wine, the best wine, is that wine which is Christ's blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, shed for you on the cross of Calvary, given into your mouths in the supper. The good wine, the best wine, is that wine which will flow forever on the mountain of God, in the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus changed water to wine at a literal wedding, bringing joy to a couple that was pretty embarrassed before that, and to all their guests, demonstrating his power. And now, his church goes forth to bring joy to all people, to all marriages. The joy that flows from the marriage of Christ and his church. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. In the name of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory, page 192.
And welcome in the name of the bridegroom who truly does bring joy, Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of the joy that brings life and healing to every and any situation would be yours today and always in Jesus. This time we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. In addition to the prayers that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for the family of Norman Lutze, friend of Good Shepherd, and especially his wife, Georgia, as Norman passed away this week. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, How awesome are your deeds! For it pleased you to send your Son into our world to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might cling in faith to Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and receive from him the divine gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he lovingly delivers to us in the Cana of his holy church, the font, the pulpit, and the altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, we give you humble thanks for instituting the estate of holy marriage and for the blessings of families. Grant that these gifts would be cherished and honored in our society, and especially within the household of faith. Bless them with joy and peace through the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you provide for all our needs of both body and soul. From your bountiful goodness, we receive our daily bread. Create in us grateful hearts to receive all that you provide with thanksgiving to the praise of your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, grant wisdom to all who are in authority over us at the federal, state, and local levels. Supply them with your blessings, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. Bless all those in our armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, behold with tender mercy those who are sick, hospitalized, undergoing treatment, preparing for surgery, mourning the loss of loved ones, or suffering in any way, that they would know the consolation of your love in Christ Jesus and be strengthened to endure. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the holy altar this day, that they may receive the holy sacrament of Christ's very body and blood in repentance and faith and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, all the earth worships you and sings your praises. Keep us in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that together with all your saints of every time and place, we may enjoy the marriage feast of the Lamb in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
any idea what she's doing? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Be seated. Our closing hymn, 394, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, one who is an expert at bringing joy where there is only pain and suffering and grief and heartache. That is his gift to us, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Check out the Good Shepherd News.